This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome and blessings from Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast. We rejoice that God has led you to join us as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. We offer these broadcasts with the hope that they will help you better understand the Scriptures and more passionately follow the Savior. We are praying that for you today as you listen. If you have specific prayer requests that you would like us to pray for, please text us at 772-205-6552. Mitchell McGar, our pastor of student ministries, delivers today's message titled, The Early Church That Caught Fire. The early church suffered persecution that none of us can imagine, at least not yet. They suffered greatly for their faith in Jesus. Peter writes to these people at the point where things are about to get bad. Ask God to reveal truth to you about this message as we listen to Pastor Mitchell McGar.
Good morning, Grace Emmanuel Church. What a joy it is to serve the wonderful body tucked away at 707 Kitterman Road in this humbling role. Just as Pastor Sam and Pastor Kevin, when they preach, I take preaching the Word of God very seriously. It's a sobering responsibility. I was talking to Jim Murdy earlier, James chapter 3, verse 1. Teachers, pastors, preachers will be held to a stricter standard. So as I mentioned earlier, our wonderful senior pastor and shepherd has been recovering from COVID this past week, but he's tougher than a $2 steak, so he'll be all right. But that's a perfect example, an illustration with Pastor Sam and other things. Satan has been coming hard after our church for a while now. But if you're a seasoned believer in this room, you know the reason why. Because God's favor is upon this church. God's favor rests upon this church. God is well pleased with this church, not because of anything we are or we do. It's the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached faithfully from this debt-free pulpit. The transforming, life-giving power. And the enemy is not pleased with that one iota. But guess what? The enemy can kick rocks barefoot. I have bad news for him. The marching band is going to play the same tune this morning. It may not be Pastor Sam, it's me here this morning. And the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth today from this pulpit is the one and only tune that we sing. We sing lots of songs. But the one tune we sing as we preach and what undergirds every song we sing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as the title of my sermon states, I will be preaching on the early church that caught fire. I'll be pulling from various passages, highlighting and crystallizing the early church, why they caught fire, how they caught fire, the marks of a true Bible-believing church, and how we can have that same fire. Fervency of prayer, word-centeredness, Christ-exalting attitudes in our hearts for the glory of God and the eternal good of others. If I were preaching a multiple-week series, I would take a figure from the New Testament and dissect and then go on to the next week, but I have this one service, so I'm going to pinpoint two that I think are very important, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. But I want to give you some background. I want to set the table for us, set the scene for you, if you will. It's going to be story mode, but the story is based on history. The day was July the 19th, 64 AD. Crazy, maniac, Christian hater Nero, along with Caesar and Domitian, were on the loose, instrumental in the persecution of millions of Christians during the first century. July the 19th, 64 AD is significant because this was the day that Rome burned to the ground. It was Nero and his minions who did it. But who did they blame? Of course, the hated and vilified Christians. Let's blame it on them. And from the historical background, as best I can tell, this psychopath watched Nero watch the burning of Rome from this tower, this building right over there from the top, right over there. And I can only imagine, it doesn't say in scripture, but I can imagine the sadistic godlessness in that smirk. And like I said, here's the photo of the tower. History even records that he was singing while Rome was being burnt to the ground. He got his jollies out of it. You see, Nero was so diabolical that not only did he want to burn Rome down, kill his own people in the process, just to satisfy and satiate his carnal, ungodly appetite so that he could rebuild Rome. He could get the glory for his handiwork, for his masterful work, his mastery. And then what? Blame Christians in the process. No one likes them anyway. Let's blame them. It was all part of his sick, twisted, godless plan. And you want to talk about the early church that caught fire. In order for us to understand this, to understand what it means to rejoice in the midst of hardship, what it means to be able to stand firm when the waves and the vitriol of the world is thrown at us. But you have to understand, this is amazing. During this time, wives and children of prominent Roman officials were coming to Christ. Didn't make the Roman men very happy at all that their wives and their children, a lot of them, were coming to know Jesus. So guess what they also blamed the Christians for? Not only burning Rome to the ground, but you Christians are the ones that split up families. You guys are terrible people. What are you doing? Jesus meant it when he said that in comparison to our love for him, that it would appear as hatred to our biological family members. Appear. Not that we hate. I love my mom and dad. They're right here. But my love for Christ would appear as hatred because I only serve him. So as a result, Christians were maimed. I know I'm being graphic, but this is what happened. They were persecuted, just like our Savior. Some were violently thrown on the horns of raging bulls. Others were stoned. Others were hanged. Others were lacerated with piping hot knives. They were fed to wild and voracious hunting dogs, lions. They were lit on fire just like Rome was lit ablaze, July the 19th, AD 64. Lies were spreading. See, Nero, this wasn't enough for Nero. There was more lies, and it's apropos that we celebrated communion today. Lies were spreading from Nero on down that Christians, when they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, were actually engaging in cannibalism, which we know isn't true, of course. But it was a closed meeting to Christians only, right? Only Christians take communion. So what are those wacky Christians doing behind closed doors? Oh, they're eating each other. These people would stoop to any low. Their hatred toward Christians knew no bounds as they berated, belittled, and sought to destroy Christianity, which will never be true, by the way. The kingdom of God marches on forever and ever. Amen? As the writer of Hebrews clearly states, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So with that being our historical backdrop, our historical lesson, you get your 3 credits for church history for sitting through that. I'm going to start with Peter and going straight to 1 Peter. This is God's infallible, authoritative, inspired, inerrant word. Let's read together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the key word, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Here's what's interesting. A lot of things are interesting about this, but in particular, Pastor Sam's been digging deep through the book of Ephesians. And there is a great doxology, right? Ephesians chapter 3 that he's been going through. But if you look into the original language in the Greek, we are seeing what Peter is emphatically stating. Kleronomia, which means this. not just the future hope. Yes, there is a future hope of eternal glory. Hallelujah. Amen. But the Greek is actually saying that's true, but there is also a true hope today, that you can find hope in Christ today. That's why Peter says later in his epistle that we've all been given enough to live godly lives pleasing unto him. And Ephesians 1:18 uses that same Greek word, kleronomia. So having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious kleronomia inheritance in the saints. This is powerful. You see that glorious truth? His glorious inheritance in the saints. Not just future glory, but during present circumstances and hardship, we don't only possess this inheritance, but we're emboldened to be Christ-like, uncompromising in sound doctrine, no matter what this demonic world and evil leadership of man throws our way. I want to be found faithful in the sight of the Lord. I love each one of you, but not as much as Jesus does. I didn't get to say that earlier in my announcements. I want you to be found faithful in the sight of the Lord. So here's the verse I was just referring to in 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all things that the official end of the age before the new heavens and the new earth become our permanent home. With each passing year, persecution mounts further. What was once deemed annoying and minuscule to the religious elite became unbearable. So what did they do? They murdered our Lord Jesus. But his disciples died pretty terrible deaths as well, and his followers. John the Baptist, beheaded. Peter, crucified upside down. James, thrown off a temple, beaten with a club. Paul, shipwrecked and abandoned. John, boiled alive on the island of Patmos. Following Jesus is not for the weak at heart, but, that's a bunch of bad news, Mitchell, but there is joy in the midst of a hardship that the unbeliever can never know. And it is our biggest testimony to the lost world that we lose everything and we can still say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Each passing decade, the veneration and worship of Caesar intensify. Until it got to the point, by the end of the first century, every Roman citizen once a year had to appear before a Roman official and bring incense and worship to Caesar and say, Caesar est Curios, which translated, Caesar is Lord. And the believers were put in this vice grip. We cannot say Caesar is Lord. We can only say Christos est Curios, Christ is Lord. Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. If we want to be like the early disciples that caught fire, we are to first and foremost be bold. We are to deny ourselves, die to ourselves, daily pick up our cross and follow Christ. As we know, I can relate to Peter. Is there any Peters in the house? I mean, oddball, loose cannon, right? Like that's Peter. Ready to cut soldiers' ears off kind of guy. He is not bringing a water gun to a cowboy showdown, all right? He's not. Peter was volatile, unpredictable, impulsive, in some cases a loose cannon, and very hyper-responsive. That's me sometimes. If Peter were playing in an instrument in a high school band, he would be the guy always hitting the wrong note at the worst time. Peter had what some doctors call foot-in-your-mouth syndrome. If Peter were in the military, he would be the one person guaranteed to end up marching out of formation. If Peter was on a sports team, he would trip over his own feet at the most inopportune time. Peter's life is a roller coaster. On his worst days, he bossed Jesus around and denied even knowing him. On his best days, he wrote two books of the Bible, which we're preaching through now, and according to church history, was martyred by crucifixion upside down for refusing to deny Christ. He knew he was not worthy of dying the same way Christ did. It is evidence of an utterly transformed, Christ-centered life when you go from denying Christ publicly to dying for Christ publicly. That's Peter's example. Archaeologists, I'm going to be a little nerd here. If you like archaeology like I do, you're going to love this. Archaeologists have believed to have excavated his home right here. This is where we believe the apostle Peter dwelled with his wife. He was married. And what is quite compelling about this home is that evidence shows that this house, which started as a house that sheltered Peter and his wife, after Jesus died and rose from the dead, which we celebrated in joyous fashion last week, and we celebrate every week as believers, it became a communal house of worship. Before there was ever the upper room, there was Peter's house. And that's where so many of the disciples gathered and worshiped their risen Savior. People grew deeply in their understanding and love for Christ. Please hear me. None of us are too broken, too inexperienced, too young, too old, too far gone, that God cannot pluck us out of our despair, and we can be made renewed in the presence of God. What it takes is surrender to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Here's the question. Are we willing to endure hardship if it means preaching the gospel to others and watching others pass from death to life in Jesus' name?
We take a brief pause from today's broadcast to welcome those who are just joining us. This is the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We're listening to a message titled, How the Early Church Caught Fire. delivered by our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar. If you'd like to reach out to us during this broadcast or would like us to pray with you, text us at 772-205-6552. You could also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Mitchell McGar.
The days are getting shorter and shorter. This isn't fear-mongering, but the kingdom of God is near. And I want to see as many people as possible come into the kingdom of God. There was a compelling constraint and compassion in the heart of God when he saved each one of us. He set us free to live holy, righteous, Christ-exalting lives. As 1 Peter 1:3 and 4 states, we have been saved so that we would have an expectant hope in Christ in our standing in and with him. But check this out on the screen. Our faith is to be actively alive, hour by hour, praying without ceasing, living in a manner that is truly worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The participle being used in verse 4 is in the present tense, speaking of a past completed action having present results. God, from the foundation of the world, set us free to live holy, righteous lives in the sight of God that would not be the stench of death, but Paul says in Corinthians, would be a pleasing aroma unto the throne of God. We are being guarded and protected and kept by Christ. That is how deep his love is for us. Peter is using military terminology here to get his point across. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, 12 through 15. We're building our case with Peter. 1 Peter 1 and then 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, and rejoicing in the midst of hardship, remember? Rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Remember James 3:1, preachers are held to a higher standard. So I'm going to say this, and Peter said it. So if you're mad, don't be mad at me, be mad at Apostle Peter. Fiery trials will come. Please hear me. Fiery trials will come. They are as sure as death and taxes. And when they come, we need a community of people to hold us up, hold each other accountable, a place where we can serve, love, honor, and pray for one another as a church family. Just yesterday, I celebrated a pretty awesome anniversary. 5 years on staff here at Grace Emmanuel Church. Thank you. April 10th, 2016, we were standing in the fellowship hall and I was getting the big questions were being thrown at me. And from that day until the day I die, Lord's willing, you'll have to bury me in the back of the pond with Pastor Sam's car. Sorry. Sorry, I love you, Pastor Sam. This is my foxhole. This is where Dallas and I have chosen to roll up our sleeves and do the work of ministry here. Being under the leadership of Pastor Sam and the elders of this church is the absolute joy and distinct privilege of my life. We must regularly meet together in fellowship. Just as the believers would gather in Peter's home, we need to be in relationship and accountability with brothers and sisters whom we can trust and pray for and serve and labor alongside. We talk regularly about the Great Commission. Rightfully so. It is our directives from the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've never caught this before. I didn't catch this until this week. I know this is horrible. But you know how Pastor Sam always says, God showed me something? I mean, I knew the concept, but I had never seen it like this. In the Great Commission, it is also a co-mission. Jesus did his part. Jesus saved us and brought us from despair, from death, and deep in our sin and shame, and transferred us into and ushered us into his beloved kingdom to be citizens of heaven. Jesus did his part in the saving and setting us free. It is incumbent upon us as a logical next step and a logical extension to being the catalyst of seeing others set free. There's a wonderful quote from one of my favorite preachers. He's not as well known as he should be. He's pretty wonderful. Stephen Lawson. The more we devour the word of God, the more we want it. The more we disregard the word of God, the less we desire it. Pretty simple, but it's important. It's poignant. It's important. Even when your life is on a downturn and in complete upheaval, and please don't mishear me, I empathize with that. I do. I get it. I understand being in seasons of despair, seasons of, I don't know what's going on in my life right now, but I'm here to say that God has brought me through it. And you know as well as I do, a lot of you know this, a lot of times we don't understand what God's doing until we get beyond it. And then we can look back, hindsight's 20/20, and go, oh yeah, that's the hand of God. That's the fingerprint of God. So if you're in the midst of hardship, I'm not undermining that one bit, but God has a plan. And I want you to rejoice in the midst of hardship. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. If two men could have ever complained, it would have been Peter and Paul. Imprisoned, mocked, crazy maniacs that hated them and wanted their head on a silver platter. If there is willful sin in this place, God desires to make you clean. The purification of Jesus' church really matters. I'm not saying, oh, you messed up and you're too far gone. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is Romans 6:1, shall we sin so that grace may abound? God forbid, by no means. So this is a loving imploring from God. Turn from your wicked ways and trust in me. Do a 180. You do not have to be the person you were yesterday, the person you were this morning when the guy cuts you off in traffic on US-1. You can leave out of here and be a brand spanking new man or woman to the glory of God. The sufficiency of Christ in a biblically exuberant and literate people is what God is after. Do we truly love Christ? Or do we love the world? Do we love and revel in his precious word? God wants to strengthen your mind, heart's affections, emotions, and will so that you and I would be daily more and more conformed into the image and likeness of Christ. It is an across-the-board empowering. In the exact right time, God will give you the exact right words in an extraordinary measure of grace upon grace for the task at hand. I want you to think about it as a pipeline. For example, we got a photo of this wonderful pipeline propelling forward, a conduit that allows the grace of God to surge through and into your soul. But here's the kicker. You must be hooked up to the source to gain the outstanding power. Peter was hooked up to the source. Paul was hooked up to the source. And if you're a believer in this room, you are hooked up to the source. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you this morning. God used these ordinary men to flip the entire world upside down. The Roman Empire that thought they would snuff out these puny disciples, 1,500 years, nice impressive run. Good job. Rome fell. The Roman Empire fell. 1,500 years in the eyes of God, a vapor. The kingdom of God marches onward. Church, when you see the news cycle this week, when you hear the latest overstretch of governmental authority, please remember this. Paul and Peter were preaching this glorious gospel while under Roman rule, and they may have fallen. Sure, Peter denied Jesus, but ultimately he ended up dying for Jesus. It is not too late to pick yourself up, not by your own bootstraps, but by the empowerment and boldness of the word of God that is inside our souls, that the world, that the devil and the flesh can never take away from us. And there are plenty of people in the highways and the byways that are ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's be faithful to that. The Apostle Paul, and I mentioned this earlier, said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I love Tim Tebow, and he always had it under his eyes. That's great. A great Christian man. Love him. Not disparaging him at all. But that verse is more than just, I'm going to score a touchdown in a game. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember, is in the context of Paul being shackled up, to a Roman soldier who hates his guts for 2 years. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I wish I was half the man the Apostle Paul was. And yet he said, chief of sinners. I'm like, are you kidding me, man? You have a pretty awesome track record. But that was his humility. He can muster up enough physical, spiritual wherewithal to bellow out those verses. This doesn't happen by accident. Some of you may say, that's awesome, Pastor Mitchell. That is what I desire more than anything, that type of love for Christ. But have you seen the world lately? You ask me if I'm living under a rock. Are you living under a rock? It's going to hell in a handbasket. Have you seen the godless among us? They're too far out of reach to be saved. Peter and Paul show that you're never too far gone. Crazy maniac Nero, July 19th, AD 64, burning Rome to the ground. And guess what? Rome fell and the kingdom of God kept marching on and on to this present day and forevermore. The Apostle Paul says, as a great crescendo, if you will, I love these verses. Philippians, I'm excited about this. I can run a lap around the entire world. I love these verses so much. 3:8-10. Indeed, I count anything as loss, as rubbish, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. By God's grace, we have a healthy church. I mentioned that earlier. A wonderful, amazing pastor sitting under solid Bible teaching is supremely important, but don't miss this. One-on-one time with your God and your Bible by yourself with nobody else, nothing can replace that. And if you want to serve in an effective way in a corporate manner, in corporate churches, I love that you're serving. That's amazing. But if you want to serve as effectively as you possibly can, you must be in the Word of God for yourself. And God will absolutely change your life through it. He's changed mine. 1 Peter 5:6-1, as we kind of end with 1 Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. We must understand this. The man who's writing this epistle was a fisherman who, from all accounts, had a very lucrative fishing business. There was an international trade route that linked the Mediterranean with Damascus. Sound familiar? Damascus Road, where Paul was converted. In any event, Peter gave up comfort and success, as the world would define it, and opted to follow Jesus and enter into the inner circle of Jesus as one of his disciples. I want to show you the synagogue at Capernaum, where Jesus accomplished much of his earthly ministry, where Peter lived. And I have a feeling that Peter lived pretty close to this synagogue, as worshiping in the synagogue was the most important thing that they did. And here are the remnants, here are the excavations of that synagogue. And at this synagogue, Jesus preached. At this synagogue, Jesus cast out demons. In this synagogue, he healed the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3. In this synagogue is where Jesus was emphatic that he was indeed the bread of life. We showed Peter's home earlier. I wholeheartedly believe with every fiber of my being, the man with the withered hand, the man who had demons cast out, would have been in Peter's home, Peter's mother-in-law who was healed. And before there was ever an upper room, like I said earlier, there was a strengthening, emboldening that happened in the early church that took place in Peter's home in Capernaum. Paul went from murderer to the greatest Christian and missionary who has ever lived, man that wrote 13 books that are in our Bible today. Peter went from foot-in-your-mouth syndrome to scaredy-cat denier of Jesus to being emboldened and passionate as all get-out for Christ and him crucified and resurrected. Through these two men and, of course, others, but we pinpointed them today, the early church was ablaze for the glory of God. And then we get to Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. And before we get there, I've been saying this a lot lately. There is no better title that a believer can be called or given than servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord. We need to start pleasing God and not man. Humility and godliness are not flashy character traits, but they are indeed potent and required for living a life that is pleasing unto God. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There is a lost and dying world out there. So the work is not done. Life is hard. If you're in a great season of life, praise God. That won't last forever. That's not me raining on your parade, I promise. It's just true. Here's one of my favorite theologians of all time has to say about this. One of my favorite dead guys, Charles Spurgeon. The Lord gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction. So what that means is, as you rejoice in your hardship, as you rejoice like they did when crazy maniac Nero was coming after him and Caesar and Paul was imprisoned and shackled to a Roman soldier who hated his guts for 2 years, the best soldiers come out of hardship, come out of affliction. This isn't an easy message to digest. This is more like your vegetables, not your banana split. I'm sorry. I had to give you the hard truths of Scripture, because I'm accountable to God for that. So in closing, I have a couple questions, and I'm going to allow time for just you and the Lord to ponder and commune. We celebrated and shared in communion earlier, but I want that posture to continue. If you're breathing this morning, you need this. I need this. We need this. In what way do you need the power of Christ to strengthen you? I was hanging out with Michael Burkle, who's an amazing man of God right back there, and he had a wonderful shirt on, Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Work heartily for the Lord, not for man, but for the Lord and him alone. How precious. How precious. We live for an audience of one. That's what Paul and Peter did, and John and James and Barnabas and all the cast of characters I couldn't get to today. But due to that, the early church caught fire, and that fire has never been put out. People always wonder, Acts chapter 28 ends in verse 20. Why does it end so abruptly? Why? I don't get it. I'm convinced of this, and early church historians believe this, and other people believe this. It's because the church did not stop in the first century. It stops abruptly because the story unfolds and continues. Not the inerrant word of God portion, that ends in Acts chapter 28 and in the book of Acts, but in regard to our mission, what God has called us to, it continues on today. Rome fell. Babylon fell. All these evil empires, and I would be here for an hour if I mentioned every evil empire that doesn't exist today. The kingdom of God will never falter, will never fail. So again, question time. In what area of your life, in what difficulty do you find yourself? How do you find new strength to persevere in the midst of your trials so that you can say with Paul, I have learned the secret to be content. That in the midst of hardship, you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. None of us are perfect besides Jesus. The carnal man will never understand this or receive this. But I'm believing this is the hour where, of course, for the saint, for the Christian, that you would grow in your walk with Jesus, that maybe you have had a rough week or a rough month, that you would do a 180, you would give yourself to God afresh today. If you're an unbeliever, that this would be the day of salvation for you. God's kindness leads us to repentance, Romans 2:3. Our advocate is greater than our adversary. Toward the end of 1 Peter, remember we read it? The scriptures say that the devil prowls around looking to devour whom he will. We cannot be devoured if we are eternally minded in exalting Christ in all we do, daily picking up our cross, denying ourselves. So, what do we want? The things of this world? Or do we want divine calling, divine living, divine appointments, and divine purpose? That's what I want. And that's what I want for each and every single one of you, because I do love you all so much. So let's please come to this holy table of God's throne room right now. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. What things do we need to confess? What do we need to thank him for? Now is the time to get with him in an intimate way like we never have before. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to give these dear brothers and sisters this opportunity to come before you in a fresh way. I want to come before you in a fresh way. We want to see you glorified and honored. We want to rejoice in the midst of hardship. We want to serve and love others as you have. We want to endure to the end, not compromising sound doctrine. We want to love you with every fiber of our being. So God, I pray right now that each person in this room would give themselves afresh to you. If there's sin that needs to be repented of, if there's anger issues that need to be dealt with and repented of, if there's a prioritizing of world over you that needs to change, I pray that it will. So God, we love you. We give you praise and we give you honor. And I want to give an opportunity for this. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who here would say, Pastor Mitchell, that's me. I love Jesus, but I want to grow more and more deeply in him. And I want to pray for you specifically. That's me. I want to grow. I want to get more serious than I ever have before. That's awesome. Who here would say, you know what, Pastor Mitchell? Today is the day of salvation. I'm ready to give my entire life to Christ right here, right now. Who would say, that's me. I'm ready to give my heart to the Lord today for the very first time. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. The persecution of the early church is something we all read about. But we must also remember the power that was in them through the risen Savior as they served him. We would like to bring you some more discussion about today's message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, and joining us is Paula Donnell, one of our members here at Grace.
This is a wonderful message. I'm so thankful to Pastor Mitchell. I did test positive for COVID, and Pastor Mitchell had just a few hours to preach this masterful message, and thank you, Pastor Mitchell. But just taking us back in history, it's just so beneficial to the transformation that God brought about in the early church. All of these people were really bad people. They were pagan people, including Peter and including Paul, a murderer of Christians. And it's just amazing to me when you look at it in that context and you can see God doing such transformative things. But I want to just focus on Peter. Pastor Mitchell brought him up here. Peter, we always talk about him. I mean, you think about the most big mouth, arrogant bugger you could imagine, with athlete's mouth, because he had his feet in his mouth so often. And then the transformation that happens in him, and where you really see the transformation, I mean, you see it in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. I can imagine he was as surprised as everybody else. But you put yourself in his place a few years later when God began to talk to him. It's after Jesus is resurrected and he's had more life, more leading of the church. And then he sits down one day and he's sensing the Holy Spirit is asking him to write. And he writes some of the most amazing words in the Bible. In fact, the one that Pastor Mitchell quotes is one of my favorites in the whole Bible. I have a plaque on my desk, but here it is, 2 Peter 1:3. By his divine power, God has given us, and he was probably thinking himself, God has given me everything, not partially, everything I need for living a godly life. And you can imagine how far he had to move before he became the person that was so respected that he could lead perhaps the entire church. And he's so changed. He says this, I have received all of this by coming to know him. Know him. Not about him. I came to know him, the one who called me to himself. Powerful, powerful words. This is the rest. This is the rest. It's not part of this sermon, but I want to read on. By means of his marvelous glory and excellence, and because of his glory and excellence, he's given me great and precious promises. I'm personalizing it to Peter. He's given me great and precious promises. He's given us the same thing. But then these powerful words from the pen of Peter, they are the promises that enable us, me, you, him, to share his divine nature. Imagine, share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Imagine the change in him, the change in Paul, the change in John, that would allow them to become what Pastor Mitchell calls a conduit hooked up to the source. That's why they were changed. It wasn't that Peter became something great. He never imagined himself so, even to the point of his death being crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. But he understood he was what he was because the power of God was in him. The Spirit of God was flowing through him, and he became a mighty force, and that is not just offered to him. He's saying that's offered to you, sharing his divine nature, escaping the world's corruption caused by human desires, every one of us. That's for you. That's for me, every one of us.
I want to build upon further what Pastor Sam just said, and because that sort of struck me as I was listening to the sermon again. It is evidence of an utterly transformed, Christ-centered life when you go from denying Christ publicly to dying for Christ publicly. That takes a complete 180. Utter transformation had to have taken place and did take place in the Apostle Peter's life. Thinking about hosting early church meetings with his mother-in-law and others that were healed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the church grew exponentially due to the faith, the radical faith that had transformed Paul, that had transformed Peter, and that had transformed those around him. That's why elsewhere in Peter, it talks about God desires that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And also hearing again about crazy maniac Nero, and seeing how Peter and Paul in the early Christian church thrived in an incredible way, and we are still reaping the benefits of that today here in the 21st century. As intense persecution comes our way, as overstretch of governmental authorities come our way today, the encouragement, the amazing great encouragement to me is that in the midst of the news cycle, that the kingdom of God marches on and will continue to march on unabated. Every other kingdom is all but a vapor, but in the kingdom of God, all things are possible. The walls come down, and God desires to do the immeasurably more through each and every single one of us. So if God can use Paul, if God can use Peter, God can and does want to use you and me today.
Pastor Mitchell said, persecution of the Lord Jesus Church is alive and well. The Ephesians were living in a depraved, evil time. Evil was called good, good was called evil. Pastor Mitchell said every immorality imaginable was not only being tolerated, but endorsed and celebrated. Doesn't that sound like what is happening today? The depravity that's going on is so open and flaunted. Christian values are being mocked, vilified, and blamed for upheaval. The world is saying, why are you fighting all of this? If the Christians would just shut up and let everyone do what is right for them, everything would be fine. Everyone wants to do what is right in their own eyes. Paul and Peter were not at all endorsing what was taking place in Ephesus. It was not okay with them, or was it right in the eyes of God? Paul and Peter were not only preaching about the things that were good, but the things that were going on that shouldn't be going on. They kept on spreading the gospel because they were concerned for the hearts and souls of those evil, depraved Ephesians. They were willing to preach in spite of the persecution they were experiencing. God was blessing them because of their boldness, and people of Ephesus were coming to a saving knowledge of Christ because of it. Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Pastor Mitchell asked the question, do we idolize comfort or do we prioritize being comforted by our Heavenly Father? Peter and Paul chose to prioritize the comfort of their Heavenly Father. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. Face it, he was a bad guy. He was a murderer of the Christians. Paul repented and was saved from his sins, and Jesus used Paul in a mighty way. If God can do that for Paul, don't you think he can do that for you too? No matter what you've done, it isn't too much for God to forgive. He loves you and wants you as part of his family.
And so let me pray for you here as we close this program. And I'm going to pray that by God's divine power, he's given you everything you need to live a godly life. So you can share his divine nature. Let's pray. Father, you know those that are listening right now, and some probably don't have a sense at all that they are anywhere near sharing his divine nature and escaping the world's corruption caused by human desires. So God, I ask that there would just be this deep sense today that the arms of God, the grace of God, is reaching out to every single person that's listening. And some right now are coming to you saying, oh God, if you can change Peter, if you can change Paul, if you can change Pastor Sam, if you can change Pastor Mitchell, you can change me. And I am calling on you. I am calling on heaven today so that this, everything I need, will apply to my life. And I will share your divine nature to the point where I become Christ-like. I become the person who acts more like Jesus than the old me. The old me begins to fall away and the new me takes its place. Oh God, allow me to escape the world's corruption caused by my human desires and become sold out for Jesus today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the program today. Our desire is that you would experience the power of God's Spirit in you. We want to help you. Please text us at 772-205-6552 or go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We also invite you to join us for worship Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of U.S. 1. Please visit our website for more information. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. We pray that you would serve the risen Lord Jesus mightily this week. Please visit with us soon. It is our joy to bring you these messages each week. We trust that God is using them for His glory and your blessing. There is an expense for these broadcasts. We do want to offer you the opportunity to partner with us and expand this ministry. If you would choose to do so, we would like to send you something to say thank you. Our pastor, Sam Chess, has written a newly released book,
Unmasking Revelation. The book removes the fear and confusion we have about the final book of the Bible. It helps us to see the truth that there is great joy and hope in it because Jesus gloriously wins and Satan miserably loses. We want to offer you a copy of this book for a donation of $15 or more. Simply go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Click on the Giving tab. Drop down to Request Unmasking Revelation Book. Follow the directions. We thank you for your partnership.